Hello, hello, and welcome back for our next episode of the Career Talks Real Talk podcast. I'm your co-host, Tiffany Heumann, career strategy coach and workplace expert. And of course, I'm here with our incredible other co-host, Orlando Haynes. We're so happy to be back here for another episode together and a very timely topic, I would say, around navigating career transitions in an uncertain job market. There's obviously a lot of different elements at play right now, and we want everyone that is tuning in to feel a lot more confident and secure about those steps forward, despite the uncertainty. So that's really what we're going to be diving into together today. If you are joining us live on LinkedIn here, let us know where you're joining us from and say a little hello in the chat. We'd love to see who's here with us. Orlando, anything you'd like to add?
No, happy Friday. Excited for the upcoming weekend. Regardless of your career status, always, if you are above ground, that is a blessing. So always look to the brighter side. So we're definitely diving into some good stuff. And like Tiffany said, let us know where you're chiming in from. Any questions, just flood the comments, share, like, subscribe, share the broadcast to friends, family, colleagues, whoever. So appreciate you, Mark.
Oh, yeah. So look forward to it. Yeah. Right. Hello, Mark. Thank you for joining us.
Coming in from Colorado. Yeah. Appreciate you.
So I would say, Orlando, I think this is one of those times where there's a lot of different considerations and things that are going on in people's minds, you know, whether they're actively in an organization who is, you know, doing layoffs or restructuring and navigating, what does that mean for me? Or maybe you've been affected by that from your recent organization. Or maybe you've just been job searching for a little while and haven't had much success. Or maybe you're in a role and you're just kind of craving that change and wondering if now's the right time or if you should just sit tight and kind of ride that wave until another time comes up that might be a wiser move to make that change. So we are kind of coming at this from different angles, but this is really an important reflection moment, one that would be important to get that clarity of what are some of the things that you feel you're wanting more of and less of in your career as you kind of look ahead at this year. We're still fairly early on, and that's quite a bit of traction that we can gain together where you want to see yourself by the end of December. What do you want to be able to do in this next year and navigate that transition in the most effective and also seamless way, you know, with a little less stress, a little less overwhelm, a little less frustration or setbacks. So that's what I think we're really anxious to dive into and talk through more to give you some strategies that will position you really well for whatever action you want to take moving forward.
Yeah, I think for job seekers to know, and I want to be positive the entire time, even though the title says uncertainty, right?
Yeah. But
we want to make sure that you're certain about your efforts in looking for work. If you're looking to do a career transition, like, don't stop your efforts in the sense of you may not be actively looking, but you can always improve profiles, resumes, interviewing, you know, skills, things like that. Still stay above board with your skills and talent, getting more, you know, technically, get your aptitude up in certain areas, whatever that is. Making sure, again, you don't sit and get complacent in hoping of this major shift in the market to get you back out there, because people are still hiring. People are still transitioning and getting jobs. It may not be in your direct sector at the moment or wherever you're at. But again, I think it's still pretty good. I would say it's definitely an absolutely great idea to continue improving where you can until your time comes, for sure. So don't just lay dormant in hopes of something going to come to you. Still get active. I think a couple of episodes we talked about networking and all these different things. So you absolutely want to still maneuver in that space, progress forward. And then I think something will happen when it's supposed to happen for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what's going to help our listeners is Also, just talking about some of the things you might want to avoid during a transition, something that can actually stand in your way and inhibit the success that you want. You know, one I would say is actually avoiding change due to the fear of the unknown. I mean, look, it could be scary. It could be confusing. It could be a little bit stressful when you don't exactly know what's going to happen. But at the same time, losing control in those situations can feel even worse. And so avoiding change, turning a blind eye, hoping things are just going to get better on their own is literally giving your keys to your career to someone else, right? This is a moment to kind of face it head on. And yes, it'll probably feel uneasy and uncomfortable at times, but you'll be taking the needed action that's still going to drive progress, right? You know, if you're actively job searching right now and you're feeling discouraged or you haven't seen much success, well, you know, all it takes is the one opportunity that's going to suddenly line up and be exactly what you're looking for. So if you kind of have that fear of that change and holding yourself back, you're going to prevent yourself from uncovering what that opportunity is. So definitely having that level of resilience and perseverance and using every aspect of this transition as a learning opportunity will actually help you feel a lot more comfortable in facing that fear of the unknown than feeling like you need to run away from it. So that's definitely one that comes to mind. I would also add, not ignoring your well-being. I think in these times of change, it's so easy to be focused on, I need a new role. I need that job. I need to make money. I can't stay in this situation for longer. But you need to prioritize your health and well-being above everything, because when that is not in flow, everything else is going to suffer. And I guarantee you, if you do start getting opportunities and interviews, if your energy is not where it needs to be because you've been kind of killing yourself in this process or extremely stressed or burnt out, it's going to lead you to suffer in the outcomes that you want. And so really finding times in these moments of career transitions to prioritize you, to prioritize your health, do things that give you energy, that make you happy, so that it balances out some of the areas that you do really need to put your head down and just get that task done, that action step done, that networking conversation done, whatever it is. Really try to think wholeheartedly, you know, what are those elements in your life that you need to prioritize without a shadow of a doubt that are going to protect your well-being?
I love that.
One. Yeah.
And I think that's so crucial, because especially if you're in a position maybe that you may not like it or whatever, but you're not at danger of losing it, right? So not jumping the gun too soon, really thinking about, okay, what can I do to improve it? Aside from, you know, being in a toxic environment and stuff like that. And Tiffany has some great information around, I don't know how to deal with toxic environments. But if you are looking at just wanting to progress, and your current role is not offering that, maybe not be the right time to jump just yet. So reassess, you know, be more thoughtful. But for those folks who are looking to make a career transition and they feel it is the right time for whatever reason, I would definitely say do your due diligence with the companies you're looking to, you know, potentially partner with, right? You want to dig in more as to what their last, wave of, you know, termination was, and what's the longevity, because we're in that time where different companies are stop hiring. They're not laying off, but they have a hiring freeze.
Yeah.
And you can be coming in right at that moment. Well, that information hasn't trickled down. You get in the job and they're like, oh, we're going to have to lay off these last few folks. Right. Because, you know, the managers and I've seen that where
me too.
All the information didn't come down to the leaders and there's hires being made. And it was like, whoa, we just seen a big increase in, you know, and salary bump. What's going on? Why do we have these extra billings? Well, we hired new people. Okay, who approved that? And then now it's a conversation of like, we're gonna have to let these people go because we're over budget.
Yeah.
So ask a ton of questions.
Yeah.
A ton of questions to make sure you're leaving stable ground to stable ground. Right. That's huge. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's such a valid point, Orlando. And you know, you're also making me think of something when it comes to kind of pitfalls when navigating career transitions. This might make people a little uncomfortable, but when we're in a workplace and it's not ideal, right? And we're kind of in that mindset, okay, I need to find something else. Like I need to get out of here. I've tried things that are just not working for me here. Please also don't just expect a transition to automatically resolve your previous workplace issues. Like this is a mistake I see happen far too much, actually, because just switching environments isn't going to fix some of the underlying things that were within your control that you hadn't necessarily worked on in that previous work environment. So for instance, if let's say some of the challenges that you're having in your workplace now that's leading you to want to make a change or leave or take on a different role is like just communication challenges. Mm. Like you're not being heard. You're not having a good sense of expectations. You're not clear of how you're being evaluated. Those things can all be resolved 99% of the time by communication improvement. But if you don't do that, right? And you say, okay, I'm going to go find somewhere else. And it's a great company. It's a great role. You feel so lucky. You've got an amazing opportunity and an offer. And then you start there and you find yourself kind of falling into the same patterns. It's because some of these core skills haven't really been worked through enough. And that change of environment's not enough to actually make those changes happen. So just really think hard when you're looking to make a change. Is it for the right reasons, right? Am I looking to make a change because, you know, I really just feel like a misalignment with this organization, or like the vision is not at all what I buy into anymore, or the leadership team has changed and it's not something that I can really get behind anymore. Like those are pretty valid reasons to consider new options because it's such a macro element of the organization. But if it's situational based things, at the very least, it's important to try to resolve that and say, hey, can I actually be successful here? And maybe I'm just not using the right strategies, or maybe I'm not doing things that are actually in my control that can actually improve my situation very much. And like this, you'll know, you'll feel a lot more confident if you choose to stay or leave or find a different role in your organization or transition outwards. Mm-hmm. It's more about not leaving any stone unturned, because expecting a change of role or environment to just fix things isn't always the most effective strategy. And in fact, I've just seen it happen so often where it creates this like continuous disappointment and frustration, mm-hmm. where you're hoping for the best in making that change. And then you're like, that's not really what I hoped it would be. And then it's this kind of vicious cycle that you're trying to get out from.
That is so good, because what that does is it should create an opportunity of self-assessment, right?
Yeah.
Not thinking, like you said, the new company is going to fix the old habits, or what you're considering to be a issue with the previous company, where it could be that it's us, and I've been through this, bringing bad habits, the same bad habits from one organization to the next organization, and we're projecting to the organization it's that issue, and it's really you haven't fixed what you needed to fix from a communication piece or expectation piece, thinking you're going to get promoted in 6 months or whatever, what have you. That's an absolute great time to self-assess and really see, you know, really point out, why am I wanting to leave X1 company? Is it I'm just not doing the work?
Yeah.
I don't like the work. Is the work too much? Can I do it? And you know, am I not having the right conversations with my manager to say, hey, is there any way we can make this more clear, or give me more time or whatever to make sure?
Yeah.
Which could be like, oh, you should have, yeah, that's fine. You should have said something. For as I know, you were doing the work. So we just continue to press forward, not knowing you were falling behind or anything like that. So having those conversations, good or bad, I've been through them, to know that, hey, if you don't open your mouth and share what's going on, you'll start to develop this perception of a bad organization. Mm-hmm. And it can be some cases it's us having a bad attitude and bad expectations, right? Yeah. So that's something I think we can really, really drill down on.
Absolutely. And then I guess maybe in terms of some nice forward action steps, right? We talked about networking and how that's so important, and you want to make sure that you're making those inroads, that you're having those conversations, even if you're not exactly sure what comes next for you. Well, networking can be a great way of informing your decision-making. Right? You don't have to make all those decisions on your own. You could speak to people who are in that path, who are in that field, who are in that company, and learn from them and help them help you make a better, clearer decision if this is what you want. And they could even eventually serve as an advocate for you or a referral. You never know where that conversation will lie. So that's definitely an area to focus on that will open up more proactive opportunities and kind of help you stand out in a market where there's a lot of amazing talent out there. Mm-hmm. You want to build those relationships and really have those inroads that are going to open up those doors instead of close you off to them. But I'd say in addition to that, you also really want to try to get clear on what you really want and why you want it. Specifically, what I mean here is really understanding your underlying motivations. It's just so crucial for setting a clear direction, right? Like what is motivating your desire for change and transition right now? Like, are you looking for more meaningful work? Is it a need for better work-life balance? Are you looking to take on a new challenge or develop a different type of skill set? Really ask yourself, like, what is that core motive for wanting to make that change? Because this is going to be really indicative of what kind of path you take moving forward, right? If let's say it's a matter of, okay, I want new skill development. Well, hey, chances are if you're in an organization, you could get that goal just by moving to a different role or department in that same organization. And you've already built inroads in that organization where people know you and you have some relationships established. So that kind of move can actually happen a lot faster for you under one umbrella. However, let's say for you, it's like you want more meaningful work and you're finding that there's just like a disconnect between the work that you're doing and the vision of the company or where they're headed, and you're not feeling really connected with that anymore. Well, then that might be an indication here that looking elsewhere is actually the right move. Or if you're actively job searching, you can still use these reflections in guiding which type of organization you want to partner with. What kind of environment or culture are you looking for that maybe you've lacked in some of your previous roles? So if you are looking, let's say, for more work-life balance in whatever role you take on, well, this can implicate the questions you ask when you're networking or interviewing. It could be in the research that you're doing on the types of organizations you might want to join. It could fuel some of the networking conversations of people actively working there to get a sense of what does that day-to-day dynamic look like? What kind of well-being best practices do they have for employees? All of these different things, right? So just by getting really clear of what that ultimate motive is and motivator, I should say, in where you want to go next, it's going to almost on its own kind of dictate the actions that you need to take, the conversations that need to be had, and the questions that need to be asked so that you can position yourself to achieve that.
That's good. It's really, really good. And I think in line with that too is this, right? During, say you're interviewing, you're having these great conversations, or you're having these conversations and come to find out the grass is not always greener on the other side, right? People use that terminology or that phrase, yeah. But the grass is only greener if you water it. So you still have to put in the work. You're not going to go from, you know, weeds to grass and don't have to do anything to keep it grass. So you still have to put in the work. But I wanted to jump back a bit, what you talked about with wellness too.
Yeah.
I would say if you're if you're still in that space where career transition, whatever reason, but it's not a toxic environment, I would also think about how do I schedule more frequent PTO time off versus, you know, going hard for 4 or 5 months and trying to save it up for the end of the year. Let's start baking in some days off, maybe monthly, quarterly, or, you know, 2 months at a time to get that more frequent break. So your brain can, you know, do a brain dump and you kind of recharge, whether you can, you know, schedule yourself a couple of 3-day weekends throughout that time period. So again, you get some space to decompress away from the environment, away from the workload, whatever it is, what have you. But to that point that you said earlier, Tiffany, was the wellness piece is so huge, because I think now the model for most corporate professionals is that we just go hard nonstop and save it up for the holidays. We want to take the last week, 2 weeks off.
Oh, not recommended.
But 10 months of, you know, 10 and a half months of work, that is that you won't relax enough in those 2 weeks because it's the holidays. It's the wrong time.
Yeah.
Take the time off where there's really no big demand on you personally and professionally. So you actually can relax.
Yeah.
I think that's the key.
It's a big part.
One of the keys is to be like, I'm not doing nothing today. I'm off Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And maybe I take a Monday too and just don't check your email. The work is going to be there.
Oh, right?
The company's not going to close.
No.
You'll be all right.
It's such a good point, Orlando. And even when you are looking for new opportunities, like really try to get a gauge of what their dynamic is when it comes to vacation time, mm-hmm. right? You want to work for a company or be a part of an organization that really values when their employees take their time off and recognizes that when they take their time off, they show up better at work versus, you know, burning out and burning the candle at both ends. That's just not a sustainable strategy for growth. So, you know, I can tell you, I've certainly had both kinds of managers in my own career. Some that I felt super guilty taking vacation, like that the world would stop if I wasn't there for a day. And I've had ones who were extremely encouraging a vacation time and really live by example, right? So these are important considerations that you want to factor in, because I couldn't echo what you said more, Orlando, of taking that time. Don't just cram it all in, or don't go a whole year and realize, oh my gosh, I haven't used that. This is important in those evaluation criteria of what kind of transition and next step you want to take in your career, whether that's internally or in an entirely new organization.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, Selena.
Oh, hey, Selena. It's so nice to see you. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hope you're having a great day. Yeah, absolutely. I would say also another key piece here, Orlando, mm-hmm. when it comes to really steering the course in whatever transition you're looking for is plan strategically, but also track your progress, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we hear mm-hmm. a lot about being data-driven and data and how helpful data is, but you could use this very much in your own journey. I mean, I work with my clients who are job seeking and looking for new opportunities to be very data-driven in their approach, right? Whether it's following up on the action steps they've taken or the interviews that they've had or the opportunities that are coming in, right? We really try to take this methodical approach of tracking so that you can also measure your progress and see, are you gaining the traction that you want at the rate that you want versus just doing actions and putting things out there and not really monitoring how that's actually working for you. Because the problem when you don't actually track your progress, you might overlook blind spots or setbacks that are actually working against you. So for example, let's say you are, you know, actively looking for a new role, you're in a career transition, you've been unemployed a little while, and you're like, my gosh, like I'm just not getting any interviews. Like I'm doing application after application after application, and I'm not getting any interviews. Well, this can mean a few things, but one thing that it could very well mean is that your application materials are not standing out vis-a-vis the role. So it could allude to an issue with your resume and how you're representing yourself and your brand and your track record, that it's clearly not lining up with these opportunities. It could be something else within your application process that's just working in a negative light towards the progress that you want to make. But you won't really know that if you aren't able to take that step back and actually evaluate all the action steps that you're putting forward. So this is a really big one. I encourage all of our listeners, if you're looking for any type of, especially new role or new job type of transition, that you're really tracking the actions you're taking and planning and getting very accountable with yourself in the steps that you're putting forward.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. That because I was on a call a couple of weeks ago and said something similar to that. There was a young woman on the call, and she was having that same exact issue, sending resumes. She would get one or two interviews, but I was like, you had to at this point, it's been a year. So I was like, you need to reverse engineer what you're doing, seeing where you're progressing at and where you're constantly hitting the wall. That seems to be the issue right there. So if you're getting more interviews, it seems like your resume is working, and maybe it's how you interview. If it's the reverse, if you're hitting the wall, you're not getting any replies, it's the resume. But for the most part, people, you'll need to make you, unless you can write a resume, you need to make the investment, right? Make the investment, get it crafted, get it customized to bring out more, you know, quantifiable data. To your point, we're so data driven now. Companies, organizations absolutely want to see all this stuff and need to see all this stuff, but also how it's written. And I'm not a resume writer, but how it's written, it should be written on not only on what you've done, but what you can do. So there's a lot of changes that are happening in the way resumes are being written, speaking to the future of what you can bring to the organization too. So that's what they're looking at. But the whole purpose of tracking, huge. Yeah. Huge, huge, huge. And being more strategic. Yeah, being more strategic, how to contact the people on the inside, making sure, like, this is where a lot of coaching comes in, because job seekers, we tend to just throw, you know, spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. And then we're wondering why we're in the same, you know, mousetrap, just running in circles, where it's like, nope, let me take a step back. Let me see what's going on. Let me listen to the folks at Career Talks podcast on Real Talk Fridays right now.
Let me, boost of, exactly, okay, now I know what I need to do. Yes.
Let me jump into the fast track program. You know, connect with Selena, folks like that, to boost, you know, your overall just performance. But it's really, and again, I'm not pushing folks to go, you know, search for us and get the coaching, so to speak. But I am saying, at some point, if you're hitting a wall, what do you do next? If what you've been doing over and over and you're expecting a different outcome, we know we that's insanity. So there has to be a change 100%. That has to be made. 100%. Your approach. Yeah.
Nothing changes if nothing changes, right?
Exactly. I
mean, you gotta figure that out for yourself. And I mean, you don't want to keep hitting your head against a wall and feeling frustrated and discouraged. No. That's not going to bring the right energy or forward movement in your career transition. So really try to be attentive to that tracking process. And, you know, as much as you might feel maybe uneasy about doing that, you're going to get more answers and forward movement that way than not doing it at all. So I highly encourage that. Maybe another piece, just coming back quickly to the networking element, whether you're looking for like internal opportunities, but I'd say especially for external opportunities in a career transition, don't underestimate the power of tapping into your existing network. Like, even to the degree of like friends and family network, right? Like, of course, on LinkedIn, it's an amazing platform, and you likely have a certain number of connections already here. And between that and your inner circle, this could be an amazing opener for you, right? Do people know that you're looking for a change? Do they know where your head's at? Do they know what you're looking to achieve as a next step? You never want people to assume that of you, right? So maybe there's people in your network right now who are working in your target organization who you actually kind of already know and simply need to re-engage and light that fire again and start that conversation, because for all they know, maybe you're still working in your current organization or your previous organization. Maybe they think you're super happy there, but they don't know what you're really feeling and what you want. So really tap into that existing network and try to create those re-engagements, have those conversations, put those feelers out there to reconnect, open up opportunities that might be available but not always publicly posted, right? I can tell you, I've seen that happen a lot with my clients where they've re-engaged with their existing network, who was so happy to hear from them and told them about an opportunity in their team that wasn't even posted publicly, right? We hear a lot about this hidden job market, but that's how this comes to be. Right? You're talking to people who will want to bring in people that they trust or that they know, maybe versus an applicant that they've never met before. So this is the power of those relationships to really leverage and get you in front of the right decision makers.
I love that, because it leads to being absolutely clear when you're telling these folks about what you're looking for. Yeah. They can assume you're an accountant, but you're actually a finance manager. That's two different things. Right. Yeah. You're still in the money, but what you do, transactional versus, you know, what finance folks do, completely different. So you want to give them the proper clarity and, you know, in kind of mission of what you're targeting for a career. So they're not wasting their time if they come across it or speaking highly of you for an opportunity. You get your resume over them like, hey, like, thanks, Tiffany, but they were looking for a talent manager, not a talent acquisition manager. So let's be clear, when we're tapping into that existing, you know, network and telling them what we do, you know, what you do exactly, what you're looking for. And again, it's someone I years ago, that's one of the issues, is giving your network the proper language, right? Yeah. So they know how to support you and be an advocate for you, both, you know, both internally and externally, but especially for the existing folks, because you never know, things may fall up in the, and that's why networking is so huge. May fall in someone else's lap, but if you can come to top of mind because you were vocal and you were giving them the proper information, they can remember what that conversation was and like, I know. Yep. Tiffany. Yep, Tiffany would be great. And you said it was XYZ. That's exactly mm-hmm. what it does.
Yeah.
You just give her a quick call to see if she's available and get a resume over to you.
Yeah.
What can happen from there. So clarity. Yeah.
That's a big one. Yeah. Work. I would also add, you know, let's say there were opportunities that you were going for and it was a no at the time, right? But it's still an organization that you're really keen on joining, that you've kept top of mind, that you can't stop thinking about. Don't be shy in following up, right? That could have just been not the ideal time for you in that moment, but that could change, right? We see this happen often where companies will keep certain profiles on hand and reach out a month later, 2 months later. But if you can also have that proactive follow-up, reaching back out to maybe the hiring manager that you had been dealing with at that time mm-hmm. a few months ago and just checking in and seeing how they're doing and letting them know that you're still very much thinking of, you know, this organization. And although you are, you know, feeling out some different opportunities, you'd love to see if there's any opportunities that might be a better timing for you right now, or even just hopping on a quick, you know, exploratory call, no pressure either way. It could be bringing them an amazing talent and they don't even have to go out and look for it, right? Mm-hmm. So this is also what I talk about, being proactive and taking action in those career transitions. Put yourself in a winning situation, like put yourself in front of opportunities. It's like, you know, when you just think of being a batter in baseball, right? Like if you're going to hit one ball, well, okay, you better make sure that's a home run, right? But if you're hitting and hitting and hitting and hitting,
yeah.
And I'm not saying just for the pure sake of quantity, because quality is really important in how we engage and show up in these moments, but having that right balance of quality and quantity, right? Not doing three actions in a week and not seeing any traction and then feeling like this isn't going to happen for me. You probably didn't do enough stuff. Like just simply put, you probably didn't put enough swings on that bat to make some real traction happen, right? But you also don't want to swing like a million times and then just have a scattered type of approach where it's clearly compromising on the quality of your output. That can also backfire. So just getting that right kind of balance is so critical, and making sure that you feel really proud of the effort that you're putting in every day towards this particular transition.
I love that. Put this in a visual setting. It's like if you're on a tennis court practicing your swing, after an hour's worth of effort, the balls are just everywhere. Like there was no, no intentionality. You were just swinging the swing, constantly hitting the net, hitting them up, hitting them left. You were like,
yeah.
I think I'm improving. No, your efforts are not progressing.
No. Right? Yeah. Still needs a little bit of work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would always say too, in these tough times sometimes, and you know, it's tough for some, not tough for others, but not to make emotional decisions too.
Yeah.
Because I think we react and really start to make those emotional decisions. Trust me when I tell you, if there was an award for it, I probably have one. But it happens. It happens. And just through growth and just knowing what that result can lead to, it could put you in a worse opportunity.
Yeah. Right?
Because you're thinking, I got to get out of here. They're not paying me enough for what they're putting me through. And then you get the more work. And the next thing you know, it's you're not challenged. You're starting to see the other side. You're like, wow, like we don't really do anything. Then it's like, you know, we don't need you. you just promoted yourself out, you know, out to the unemployment line. So be more thoughtful and logical with your decisions to make that career transition and bounce it off that inner network, right? Those family and friends, like, here's what I'm going through. You don't always have to communicate just to say why, you know, I'm looking. But here's why I'm looking. Am I looking at this situation the correct way?
Yeah.
What are some issues? Because trust me, you can get different perspectives, some good advice, depending on who your family members are, right? It's so it's relative, but you can and have that soundboard of counsel of friends in different organizations you may know, say, and just, you know, let them know what happened and see if they can give you some more, you know, some help on how to handle situations. And that's why I think also mentors to have too, so you can, you know, at least some kind of advisory soundboard, whatever you want to call them, family or friends, but someone who can give you an objective view and tell it to you straight. And like, you know what, Orlando, you might be thinking about it wrong. Like, I'm only hearing your side of it, so I don't know the other side.
Yeah. But
really think about what you're saying. If you're trying to leave, what you got going on, is it the right time? What's the market telling you? Have you done the work to you know, to improve the situations? Have you had the conversation? And then this way you can, I think you can make a more informed decision versus an emotional one.
Yeah, it's so important. Yeah. You never really want to come from a place of desperation. Like being able to have that rational reflection is going to be really important, because otherwise it could lead to a short-term gain, but a really negative long-term consequence for you. I'd say also building on what you shared, Orlando, like just ask for help, you know, like you don't have to be going through this alone. Navigating career transitions in itself could be a little bit daunting, right? Mm-hmm. Especially leading to a new direction altogether, or just making a change. Maybe you haven't made a change. Maybe you haven't been in the job market for like a decade. You're like, now I'm getting back in it. You know, so asking for help, seeking out help is important. And of course, you know, we're here to help. But if you're really seeing that there's just not enough traction moving you forward, and you've been at this for a while, maybe getting some paid services is going to help you also, because every day that you're not securing that next step, or you're not securing that higher salary, or you're not securing the role that's going to protect your well-being and all of that, it's really hurting you, right? And like, that's time you can never get back, right? We need to be very cognizant about how we use our time and how we leverage our time. So if you've been at this a while, maybe months, maybe even over a year, or maybe it's been an ongoing story of your life since you've been in the job market, whatever that looks like, probably something needs to shift there. And knowing that asking for help is not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of strength, because you're recognizing that, hey, there's some areas that I probably aren't, I'm not grasping the way I need to. And I'm going to go to someone who's an expert in that area, who's going to help me figure this out so that I can actually move so much further ahead and get my time back and start being a lot more intentional about where I'm building my career next. So I really can't emphasize that enough, because it could be very hard when you're in it and you're just feeling like, no, I'm just going to give it one more day. I'm just going to give it one more week. I'm just going to give it one more month. And the next thing you know, all this time has gone by and you're not really any further along, and you're just feeling more frustrated and resentful and angry and disappointed. We want to really flip that into a much more positive path forward for you. So help, highly recommend, you know, asking for that help where you can.
Yeah. Not seeing the trees through the forest. Right. But when you get that sound advice, and you know, if it's great advice, especially if you're, you know, you're seeking it from a professional and a career professional who does, you know, help folks in the job market, and then you don't execute on it, like, that's the worst. You're seeking the help, but then you fall back into your complacency mode or frustration mode or whatever it is, but it stops you from literally putting that plan in action. And then you're still thinking, I don't know why. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Well, let's walk through, you know, the steps.
Yeah.
What did you do? What did you do? Yeah. If you've done nothing, but you know, expect nothing to happen. Like you said,
if
you don't change, things won't change. So it's definitely being able to take action is huge. I love when Tony Robbins says it's immediate, massive action, right?
Yeah.
Just do it. Or someone, another quote is, you know, imperfect action. Everything doesn't have to line up for you to
messy start. Action.
Just do it. If you hear a lot about having a perfect resume, having a perfect, you know, LinkedIn profile, doing things, you don't need all those at once to take a step, because even if you think it is, something could be wrong, but take the action, take the steps. You won't know until you leap. So
100%. And you just made me think of one, maybe last point on my end, Orlando, when you are thinking of doing these transitions, right? Maybe you're thinking of a new role internally, externally, it doesn't really matter. Don't take yourself out of the race before it's begun. What I mean is, don't rule yourself out because you don't hit on all the criteria, right? When you're looking at a job posting, when you're looking at an opportunity, again, whether internally or externally, you don't know how the hiring team is weighting that criteria, right? So maybe there's one element that you're not as familiar in, but if you're like, oh, well, I don't have that, so I guess I can't apply, or I can't go for it, or I can't even consider this opportunity, how are you to know that that's actually like the least weighted criteria of everything else? And the things that you have in spades is what actually really matters in their hiring decision. So really focus on what you do have and elevating that so that it becomes a no-brainer decision that you should be moving forward in this path, versus focusing on the things that you don't have that lead you to take yourself out of opportunities or to self-assume that this isn't going to be an opportunity for you. And I think this applies a lot just in terms of career advancement as a whole, right? When you're telling yourself, maybe I'm not ready for that next step. Maybe I'm not ready for this transition. Maybe I need to continue doing X, Y, Z before I can even consider that. Mm-hmm. That's again, your mindset holding you back and what's possible for you, right? So you're not going to have anything to lose. If anything, it'll be a learning opportunity. And just like Orlando was saying a second ago, take the action. Like, you're going to learn a lot more about yourself in this process by taking action and giving it a shot than not taking any action and just assuming that you weren't ready for that particular type of role.
Yep, absolutely. And I forgot one point, one last point on my end is the, you were saying about the imperfect action. Oh man, what was it? It was right on the tip of my tongue too.
Messy action, imperfect action, not taking yourself out of opportunities, assuming criteria is being weighted a certain way.
We said job descriptions. So,
oh yes, yes.
Yeah, job descriptions. I wonder, like, do we do an episode on breaking down the job description, right?
Oh yeah, I like that. That's a good one. We'll that's do that huge one next, too. Orlando.
Yeah. Because there's a lot that goes into that.
It's a lot that to unpack there. And how to really decipher that and then maximize your candidacy for a certain role. Yeah, I love that.
So
we'll you've heard it here, gang. Yep. We're gonna be tackling that one next.
That's gonna be the job, the psychology of the job, the break,
psychology
whatever
of
it is.
The job description and how to use it to your advantage than absolutely a disservice. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one. It's a good one.
Oh, it is a good one. I'm surprised they haven't done that one before, but it's okay. Always thinking of new topics. But I really do hope this is really helpful for all of our listeners today, that you're feeling more clear, more confident in some tangible strategies you can take, where to focus your energy. And most importantly, you know, keeping your head up in this time of uncertainty. Remember, on the other side of uncertainty can be amazing growth opportunities for you, but you have to be brave. You have to be fearless. You have to go for it and take action to give yourself a chance of winning in this game. So I'm really excited to see where it leads to all of our listeners. And hopefully this is an amazing year for you. And if it hasn't started in that way, or if you've been struggling since last year, it's okay. Mm-hmm. On the other side of this is something that is going to let you up, and you're getting closer each and every day.
Yep. This too shall pass. So don't worry. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Well, that was good. I got nothing else to add.
Yeah, me neither. I think we'll wrap it up on that note.
Sounds good. Folks, remember to subscribe to the Career Talks podcast. Connect with Tiffany and myself. Feel free to shoot us questions. And, you know, we can dedicate a segment to answering the questions that come in. So absolutely connect with us for your, you know, for your career advice, support. We're cheering you on all the way through 2024 and beyond. So we will see you next week, folks, or next time. All right. Right here.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.